He was sent to them to tell them the good news of their salvation in Christ Jesus. And it was all by the will of God. I'm thankful for God's will. Amen? I'm thankful that God wants us to know His will. Now, the mystery of His will that Paul highlights in Ephesians 1 and in other places, he's talking about that Christ was the one who was to be the mediator, that all things were going to come together in Him, that He was going to break down the walls of separation in Christ between the Jew and the Gentile, and God was going to build one flock of His people that was redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus by God's grace through faith in Him, that God our Savior was going to rescue us. But Paul makes it personal in his assignment, in his mission, that by the will of God, he was an apostle. By the will of God, I am a pastor. By the will of God, I am a preacher of righteousness. By the will of God, we have homemakers. By the will of God, we have educators. By the will of God, we have teachers and builders and makers, and by the will of God, that God has a will for each of us in the kingdom. And I want to tell you, that will is the means by which His favor and blessings will flow in and through our lives through what He has determined for us to do. And I want to know His will for my life. You should want to know His will for your life. Because remember, we talked about it in Sunday school. God doesn't do anything accidentally, does He? Everything He does is intentional. So when He redeemed me, He redeemed me with purpose. He redeemed me with a design. And He has a will, a pleasure, a determined purpose for me in this journey. And that purpose will include a lot of things that will come in and out of my life throughout time. People and places and things like that. But I need to know what His will is for my life. And I know I've shared these things with you before. If you're not careful, you can get really frustrated by seeking God's will rather than seeking God Himself. God teaches us to seek first the King in His ways, and He said everything else will fall out in its right place in our life. There is a principle of priority of walking with the Lord. And that priority is to seek the kingdom of righteousness. Seek the King and His reign over my life. His lead over my life. His lordship over my life. Seeking Him. What did He say in Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God. To seek the kingdom of God, you're seeking the King of the kingdom. And when you're seeking the King of the kingdom and you seek in His ways, His righteousness is just the way of God. When you seek that, God says He'll make sure we're fed, we'll make sure we're led, and He'll make sure all our needs are met in life. There'll be no need to be anxious or worry. We can rest in peace that He knows where we are, what we are, who we are, and He has a purpose for us. And we don't have to worry about Him letting us down when we are seeking first the King and the King's ways in His kingdom. God said, I'll take care of everything else in your life. Does that mean you're going to have a fat bank account? And everybody said. Does that mean you're going to have a big home? Everybody said. Does that mean this life's going to be hunky-dory, easy, no trouble? No. Matter of fact, He says that when we do seek the King and His kingdom, we're going to go through some things. We're going to go through some troubles. We're going to go through some trials. Why? Because the King uses the trouble and the trials to make us look more like the King. Amen? Amen. To be more identified with the King Himself. He's got to bring us through some things. So none of those things. Are you going to struggle from time to time? Are you going to go through the valleys and up on the mountains when you're seeking the King? Yes, but I want to tell you, the difference between seeking the King and not seeking Him will be the difference between walking in His ways or doing that which has no value on this earth. Let me illustrate it or show it to you in some of our reading that we just went through. Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 12, I believe it is. I could be wrong. I'm thinking it is. If not, we'll find it. Y'all won't cut me if it ain't, huh? Let's see, chapter 12. Yes, chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 13 just to get the name of who we're looking at. And then we're going to jump into verse 14. And it's going to give us another one of those because statements. I like those because statements. They help me. They help me. They give me a reason for a thing. Verse 13 says, "Thus King Rehoboam." Who was Rehoboam? That was Solomon's son. Rehoboam, King Rehoboam, strengthened himself in Jerusalem, and he reigned. That's simply saying, he made himself courageously to be strong, to be the king over the people in Jerusalem. He strengthened himself. He hardened his heart and strengthened it and set it that he would be king. Look what verse 14 says, though. Verse 14 says, "And he," King Rehoboam, "he did what?" He did evil. What's that word evil mean? 2 Chronicles 12:14. What does evil mean? It's wrong. Good for nothing. Eternally. That's simply the idea. It's just good for nothing. From an eternal perspective, that doesn't mean it wasn't beneficial to people. It's without God. Let's just say that. Anything that's without grace, without God, is considered to be what? 2 Chronicles 12:14 says that Rehoboam did evil. That meant that what he did was just as any other natural man would do. And what is of man, the Bible describes as being evil. Now, think about that for a moment. As a king, he led an entire nation that seemed to be functioning fairly well. They had what they knew in those days. Their medication wasn't as sophisticated as ours. It might have killed some folks back in those days, but medicine's killing people today. I'd imagine they had people who litigated and were lawyer type advocates and who stood in the gap for people. I'm willing to say they had people who knew much about crops and knew when to plant and when not to plant. They knew they function as a society. We're not talking about a group of people that didn't have a great intellect. They did. They were practical. They did everyday life. If they were living the day, they would look like everybody else. If this was going on today, they would get up, they would go to work, they would drive their cars, they would go by Walmart and get their groceries or Piggly Wiggly or the Pilgrim. They would go get their hair cut. Trish would cut their hair. They would go back home. They would turn on their TV. They didn't have TV. They entertained themselves other ways. But if they were living the day, they would have went home and they would have got on Amazon and bought something. They would have brought their kids to Clarkdale School and let Coach McCarty teach them softball. They would have done just like we would do every day. Rusty, they would go to work. They would take and tell their skidder crew and their drivers what to do and where we were going, where we were loading and all, where we were taking the logs to the mill. If they were living the day, that's exactly what they would be doing. They would do what we do. The problem is they did it not to the glory of God. God wasn't in it. Why was not God in it? Well, the word because. What's the next phrase? Because. What does it say? Because he did not prepare his heart to do what? To seek the Lord. Oh, man, the word prepared there, it means to fix, to establish, to determine, to make a determination that I am going to fix and prepare myself as the way I live life. I'm going to frequent Jesus. I'm going to frequent the Lord day in and day out. How many of you ever been looking for something and you had to go online to look for it and you was waiting on it to go on sale or you was trying to find a place? Let's just illustrate it like this. Of course, y'all know Stephanie and I went down to the beach last week. Well, for the last couple weeks, really the last 2 weeks, Stephanie's been looking for a place. And we really didn't find anything. I kept telling her, let's just wait. Let's just wait until we're going down there. We'll call on the ride down and try to get something. She said, well, no, we ain't going to do that. I said, yeah, let's do that. But she kept going on the internet and that, what do they call that? That VR? Say it again. Vacation rental by owner. She kept going on and she frequented. We'd be riding to town. She's on there looking for a place. She'd tell me, Nick, I'm tired of looking. I told you, we'll quit looking. We'll figure it out on the way down. Now, you just get a couple and I'll call them, or we'll call them on the ride and try to get it set up. But she kept going back to it and back to it and back to it, trying to find just the right place at the right price. Our girls gifted us for our 30th anniversary. They each pitched in some money, so they wanted us to take a little trip, which was a gift. I mean, it's something when your kids start giving you money for vacations, amen? Things done shifted a little bit. Praise God for that. Well, they want us to go, and they wanted to finance it, and she kept looking. She said, oh, the girl's going to be disappointed if we don't get a place. And I said, look, it's going to work out. She kept going back, kept going back, kept going back. Kept looking, kept looking, kept looking, kept looking. I mean, all the way up to Monday morning. She says, Nick, everything I looked at says it's booked. Or you can't rent it today. No same day rental. Then I started thinking, I might have done messed up with her. I said, give me a number. Give me a number and I'll call. Well, I called and somebody in India answered the phone. You ain't going to help me in India. I'm going to the beach. That ain't going to work. I said, I'll talk with you later. I got off the phone. So I emailed a guy. And I said, look, I'd like to book. I'd like to book today. He didn't respond. Open tomorrow and the next day, Keith. So I said, well, look, I wrote him an email. I said, I'm booking tomorrow, Tuesday, and I'm booking Wednesday. I said, but I'm coming today. And I'm going to give my business to somebody today. It could either be you or somebody else. He emailed me right back and said, y'all come on. It's clean. Whenever you get there, just go on in. And you know what the neat thing is? He didn't even charge me for Monday. He didn't charge me. He let us stay on him on Monday, and we booked it for Tuesday and Wednesday. So it did work out, praise God. But the point I'm making is that Stephanie kept going back to that, trying to find us a place. She kept frequenting. She kept going to it. And you know, that's the idea of seeking the Lord. You keep going to Him. You keep going to Him. Now, sometimes you got to wait on Him when you go to Him. But I want to tell you, He's worth waiting on. Amen. Have y'all ever had to wait on a doctor before? You ask, is He really worth waiting on? Are they really worth waiting on? And you make folks sit in that waiting room all day long. Try your best. Well, let's say a specialized doctor that says, I can't see you for caring. You ever had one like that where they said, you've got your back trouble, you set up to go see a specific doctor, but he can't see you for 2 months, 3 months. And you're willing to wait because of what? Their reputation and expertise. You say, this guy, this woman knows what they're doing. I'm willing to wait that time so that they could evaluate and see me and give me their solution on how to fix this. Well, you say, I want to tell you, there's nobody in the world that is worth more waiting on than the Lord Himself. He don't have to answer me today. He can. He often does, but He don't have to, but He's worth waiting upon. He's worth seeking. He's worth going to hear from. And Rehoboam did what was evil or of no value before the throne of God because he didn't set his heart to seek the Lord. God's will for us. He's worth seeking. And I'm willing to say I've learned by experience, I've learned by testimonies, and I've learned over and over again, beyond any shadow of a doubt, through the Word of God, that when you seek the Lord with all your heart, He's going to be found of you. You're going to find Him. And when you find Him, there's no greater shepherd who's going to lead you into what He has chosen for you to live by, His will in our lives. He wants us to see it. He wants us to know it. He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to embrace it. And it doesn't have to be that I'm a missionary in Zimbabwe or down in Haiti or in China or in Africa or in Australia. He's called me to be a missionary in Briggs Chapel community. He's called me to be a missionary in Mississippi and Alabama. He's called me to be a missionary wherever I go and whatever I do. That's part of His will for my life, and I believe it's part of His will for your life as well. But I also have learned that I can't really expect God to guide me and lead me and give me those things that His Word may not, because there's things about our daily journeys in life that God's Word doesn't give us clear direction on. We trust Him, we walk with Him, and we know He's going to lead us, but I can't expect Him to lead me in everyday life if I neglect the things that He has revealed in His Word that are part of His will for my life. For an example, I can't neglect Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that simply says, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not upon your own understanding, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He shall what? Direct your path. Well, if I'm not living that away, but I think God's going to give me the little bitty details of living for Him, but I'm not seeking Him, I'm only fooling myself. If I'm not doing what He's already revealed for me to do, pretty clear, I don't have to know everything. I don't have to know everything He's already written. God's got something unique and specific for me to be doing. I just need to know what that is. I don't need to know what He's got Karen necessarily doing in every detail. That's between He and her and where He's going to lead her, or Janet or Bill or Trish or Tabby or any of us. But I do need to know what He set me apart for and what He's called me to. And I need to be walking in what I know so that as I come across things that I don't know, that He hasn't yet revealed and it's not clear in His Word to me, that God's going to shepherd me right on through it and lead me. Why? Because He's found me to be what? Faithful in what He's already given me. Amen?
Amen.
This Word has been written to those separated to the will of God and who are reliable with the things God's given them, faithful. That's just who this message is for. I come across people from time to time, they tell me, Brother Nick, I don't never get anything out of God's Word. It's not beneficial for me. Well, I believe the qualification is that, one, you need to know the God of the Word. Got to have a relationship with Him, amen? And number two, you need to be faithful with what He's already spoken to you. When you're faithful with what He's spoken to you already, what He's given you, the simple things in life that He's already revealed to us, when you're reliable and faithful in that, guess what? You won't have any trouble gleaning from God's Word, amen? Why? God's going to feed you with it. He's going to help you with it. Amen. Reliable. If you went over to Philippians and Colossians, he's going to say the exact same thing. Why? Because God's Word is beneficial, good, a blessing to those who are upright with Him. And an upright man is simply a man who takes God at His Word, who trusts Him, believes it, and then walks in it. That's a man who's seeking the Lord. A man or a woman that's not seeking the Lord, what are they going to do in life? The product of their life is going to be of no value eternally, right? That's what we see with Rehoboam. That's what we see with people who are not seeking after the Lord. But reliable, faithful. Separated to the will of God and reliable in what God has given. Micah says it like this. God comes to the people and he simply says these words. He says, is not my word good to them who walk uprightly? Who live by faith. I want to tell you, if I want to know God's will, He's given me a whole lot to know. I don't have to know it all, but I need to know Him, and I need to know what He's asked me to do. And when I walk in that, you know what He starts doing? Little by little, Bill. Little by little, day by day, He's steady throwing me heavenly manna, giving me what I need just to simply what? Walk in faith with what He's given. So I can't turn around and come to him like we illustrated with Janet or Greg or anybody else to say, well, God had something for me. He's already determined that. We've come in an agreement on that. I've trusted him. But I just all of a sudden throw up the flag and say, I'm going to do something else, Lord, and expect God not to deal with it. It don't work that way. Amen? Doesn't work that way. To walk in His will, you got to know His will. You got to trust Him. And you got to seek Him. And when you seek Him, He's going to make sure you are walking in His will for your life. You don't have to question it. You just trust Him with it. Amen? Amen. And He's going to lead you. But if you find yourself like I have in the past, and those that I've worked with and counseled with and tried to help, I said, Brother Nick, I'm struggling. I really want to know the will of God in my life. I want to know it, and I'm frustrated. I'm uneasy in my spirit. I'm disturbed in my spirit. I feel like I'm torn here and there. Man, I want to know God's will more than anything so that I can walk in it. And we've all been there before. And I simply asked the question, well, let me ask you this. Are you seeking Him? Or are you seeking His will for your life over seeking Him first? You just go before Him and seek Him with all your heart. Walk in what He's given you. You won't have to worry about what His will is for your life. He's going to make sure you know that, and He's going to make sure He leads you in that. And not only that, He's going to give you a peace about it. And He's going to give you a calm assurance of what you're doing. You're going to know what you're doing and why you're doing it and who you're doing it for. And He's going to help you when you seek Him first. Amen. Amen. Paul, an apostle, by the will of God. Mama, homemaker, business owner, missionary, preacher, teacher, servant, slave, by the will of God. Oh, the freedom and liberty that comes with knowing His will over our life. Amen? Amen. Help us with this, Lord. We ask You today. Help us to not just seek what You might have for us, but that we want to be in fellowship with You. We want to seek You with all our heart. You promise when we do, we'll find You. We also believe that You do reward us with Your presence and favor, and that You will lead us through this life. We want to understand and know that you do require that we trust You, and that we trust what You feed us, and that we walk in it if we want to receive more and more from You. So I pray that You help us. I pray that we just continually set our hearts to know You and what You have for us in this life. We want to walk in it with confidence in Your peace. We know You care for us. We know You love us. We know while we were still a foe and an enemy, hostile, You gave Your life for us. And if You would do that while we were against You, now that we trust You, oh, what will You lead us through for Your glory? Thank You for Your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.